Striving for mediocrity in a world of excellence, this is The Chaser Report.
Welcome to another Summer Stunt Series episode of The Chaser Report, where we look back on some of the glory days of Chaser stunts now that we're all old and middle-aged. Charles Firth is here. I'm Dom Knight. And Andrew Hansen is at the plate once again, telling us about some of his highlights and lowlights from particularly the war and everything, but some of the other series as well. Hello, Andrew.
Hello. This is nice to just catch up on a summer and have a bit of a chat about old times, isn't it? It's a lovely thing to do.
Yeah, and of course, we're not recording this in December.
No. Is,
you know, we're all coming into the studio each day to record these. So how has your January been so far, Andrew?
Oh, look, it's been the best, most summery of Januaries. Mm. Let me tell you, the first was brilliant. The second of January, yes. That was a good day too.
Oh, that was great day, yes. Did you enjoy the third or...?
Well, absolute cork up. No criticisms to make so far of the January we're having. I hope you're having a good January at home.
It's been a bit about the wet weather, though, hasn't it?
Well, or dry weather, if it
and
might,
the dry
if
weather. Yeah.
If only it was going to be dry. Yeah. For today's episode, we're going to take a look back at one of Andrew's most beloved characters, the crazy warehouse guy. That's in a moment.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
The Chaser Report. News a few days after it happens.
Andrew, you did a lot of these, didn't you?
I did a lot of crazy warehouse guys. Yeah, yeah. There used to be this type of TV commercial. Like, I mean, if you're listening to this and you're below a certain age, you've probably never heard of these TV commercials.
Unless you live in regional Australia. Where
they might still be
like
on
people
there.
Who own discount stores still record their own ads.
Do they still? People who own discount stores.
They may well.
Yes. And particularly Persian rug warehouses and things like this. And they would. They used to have a voiceover artist who would literally scream into the microphone.
And the louder it was, the bigger the bargains. Wasn't that the logic?
Yes. It was like, bargains, bargains, bargains. Huge bargain. They would literally scream like this into the microphone. It was the most annoying and horrible ads. And they were always on late at night. And I think somebody had the idea that it would be funny if one of those voiceover artists, if we got a glimpse into his life, and then he walked around speaking like that all the time, that was just his normal voice.
A lot of the war was, here's a sort of premise, let's just use it in 20 different places.
It was, a lot of it was. Yeah, like what if that guy or that, I mean, there was even a, where can you take a horse?
Yeah, the Trojan horse, that was great fun.
No, not that, there was a real horse. There was
No. Where can you take a real horse?
A real horse?
Yes, that's right. Don't you remember, Dommy? Yeah. Which I think, because Chris Taylor finds horses very
funny.
He
does, yeah.
And I think he had this idea that it would just be funny to take a horse into different shops, which is what he did.
Where can you take Mr. Darcy was another one of...
It was. And I did one, wouldn't it be interesting? I noticed in American soap operas that a lot of people, when they talk to somebody else, they have their back towards them.
That's right.
I think it was a camera trick. I think it was so that, you know, both actors could be facing towards the camera and you'd see somebody over the other actor's shoulder and there'd be someone in the foreground having a meaningful, you know, deep and meaningful conversation saying, you know, I don't know if we can go on like this. If the Prince of Morocco never returns, then, you know, or whatever it is. And so I thought that would be funny too, to just turn up on buses or walk into shops and engage someone in a conversation and then immediately turn around to face the opposite way and continue talking to them. And it turned out to be quite funny because people don't walk away. At first I thought, would they just walk away? But they don't. If you walk up to somebody and face to face say, oh, hi, I'm just wondering if I could ask about, and then you turn around and just deliver the rest of the conversation facing the other way. They don't leave or anything. Like they you've engaged them and they stand there and patiently try to talk to you to your back.
That's right.
Human beings are so funny because we're so polite and we don't even question. None of them questioned me standing there with my back to them for ages.
And the beauty of the show was, if they did, you'd just cut them out in the edit.
Well, that's true. That's true. If you didn't get what you want, yeah, cutting room floor, cutting room floor. Yeah, no, but anyway, back to the Crazy Warehouse guy.
Yeah, because this was just such an enduring thing because it's just such a funny voice and it's so completely like you're talking about the politeness of humans. The Crazy Warehouse guy is so completely socially inappropriate and yet people still feel they've got to interact with him.
Yeah, well, they sort of did. Yeah, you do rely on people's essential politeness. And the first ever outing that the Crazy Warehouse guy had was into a McDonald's. Because that often seemed like everyone knows McDonald's. Mm. I think we often went into McDonald's to do things.
We did, to the point where the ABC actually said, you've got to stop doing stunts in McDonald's because we feel like they're getting all this free promotion. And it made no sense. We were annoying them time and time again. And somehow that was helpful to them. I don't know.
Well,
but yeah.
It's a relatable place. Mm. You know, everyone kind of gets it's very public, but it's also quite formal.
Yeah, there are rules.
There are rules, yeah. It's inappropriate to misbehave in a McDonald's, so it's kind of funny. So I guess that maybe made sense. And also, there was a McDonald's very near the studio.
That's
so
true.
It's really handy to
anything
pop
that was
out
near the studio was just used again and again.
Yeah.
I once had a media studies professor tell me that they thought that the Chaser was a sort of revolutionary breakthrough thing for multiculturalism in Australia because, you know, a lot of the stunts were done, you know, in Asian language areas of Sydney.
Yeah.
And, you know,
specifically
depicted Asian sort of cultures and people. And it
no,
was really good.
Somebody, an academic thought that.
Yeah, yeah. And it was like, yeah, because the ABC is next to Chinatown.
Yes. And it wasn't a multicultural show. Like, it was full of white men.
No, it was not at all.
But interacting with.
But
and
the
making,
fact that we occasionally talk to people who happen to be in Chinatown.
The kind of camera cannon fodder were non-white. Yeah. I suppose that Canada's progress back then.
It broke down, you know, Howard's Australia, you know, blah, blah, blah.
I love academics. I wonder what an academic would make of the Crazy Warehouse guy.
So, Andrew, which one have you chosen? Which one have you chosen for us? I'm sure linguistics professors would actually break down the Crazy Warehouse.
Yeah, I'm sure there's PhDs on Crazy Warehouse.
Crazy Warehouse PhD. That is a sketch. The Crazy Warehouse guy delivering like an occasional address at a PhD ceremony.
Narrating.
That would be great.
His
we PhD. Never did that.
His PhD would be in all caps.
We should, yes. I don't think we ever... We never had him shouting. We should have. PhDs. Yeah. Academic madness. We should have had him do that. I can't believe we didn't think of that. Turning up at a lecture.
You've got a PhD in gender studies.
Yeah. I think the one I want us to listen to is his first outing, his first live outing. His first appearance was actually just a parody of an actual rug ad. But the first time that I went into a public place and actually shot him standing there and yelling. Yeah, I'm pretty sure the first one was at a McDonald's, and it was one of the only ones where I didn't go with a script, because normally I would write or we would get together and co-write a script for him to deliver somewhere. But in the McDonald's, I think because it was the first one, it was more of a let's go out and see, you know, what happens when he goes in and just shouts in places. And I was able to essentially make the script by just looking up at the menu on the wall and yelling it. So that's what you'll now hear me do, or hear the Crazy Warehouse guy do in McDonald's.
Here it is.
Hello, I'm fine. I'd like to order a meal, thanks, but I just need a moment to decide. I can't believe how many choices you've got here. Bacon and egg, Thai, chicken, Italian supreme, chicken tandoori, veggie pesto, turkey and cranberry, chicken Caesar, mustard free, Big Mac, quarter pounder with cheese for chicken, fillet of fish, small value meal for only $5.25. That's $5.25. Unbelievable value, $5.25. That price is never to be repeated, $5.25. Salads plus, nothing under 10 grams of fat, that's 10 grams of fat. There's nutrition for you. It's absolutely amazing. You better grab it before lunchtime.
I assume I was being escorted out during that last...
The birth of an icon. But the thing is with McDonald's as well is they would have had people genuinely like shouting at them at other times of day. Like if you'd gone in there at 2 or 3 in the morning, you probably wouldn't have been able to be heard over all the chatting.
They didn't. They barely batted an eyelid, the poor staff.
They probably just went, oh, that's Joel, the regular.
Yes, that's right. He'd come in for his usual order. Yeah. They probably had it ready. They probably had exactly that order ready to go. Hand over to the crazy man.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Chaser Report. Less news. More often.
Am I right in thinking, Andrew, that because you were, we worked out with all these very carefully scripted, lines for both the Crazy Warehouse guy and the Surprise Spruiker, the other somewhat similar character that you did. And didn't you just do them over and over again? If you got to the end, you just kind of went back to the start?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, you would, yeah, because it's, for TV, so you'd want to get a few good takes. So, yeah, I would normally just turn up to the place, deliver the script several times over, maybe 6 or 7 times, and then we'd choose the best take. That would essentially be like doing a take.
I suppose that must have been even stranger for the people actually.
Yeah, terrible and horrible for me. So awkward. So because I'm a non-confrontational person, and yeah, to stand there and yell that and then do it another 6 times in the same spot is a very humbling experience.
But I think also your ability to memorize dialogue, which is, far above everyone else in the team, that then made Mr. 10 Questions work, didn't it? Because I don't think anyone else could possibly have remembered and sort of sequentially delivered the 10 questions in the way that you
but
did.
But I cheated with Mr. 10 Questions on me because he was a reporter character, right? Mr. 10 Questions. So it made sense that he could have a clipboard.
Oh,
and I made the clipboard part of his appearance.
Oh, that's right. Because they all had their own wardrobe.
The illusion.
They had their own little wardrobe and distinctive items, the Spruiker's hat. Spruiker always had the same hat.
And I don't want this to irritate you, Andrew, but what was the difference between Surprise Spruiker and Crazy Warehouse?
Oh, look, everyone used to ask this. And we didn't know, and I didn't really know. I think there was a slight difference, but not much. They're basically very similar, and a lot of their phrases...
They both had British accents.
No, the Surprise Spruiker's Australian.
No, the other way around. The Crazy Warehouse guy's Australian.
Australian. What we just heard. The Crazy Warehouse guy's Australian, and the Spruiker's
And then
British.
The Surprise Spruiker was like the Gowings...
Yeah, and Lowe's, like outside Lowe's and Gowings, there are always these guys with big microphone boxes doing that thing live. It was extraordinary.
And they've gone to, and in Melbourne, it used to be at the place near the town hall on Swanston Street.
Oh, Swanston Street was full of them, wasn't it? Yeah,
there's that sort of downstairs place, And they'd be these sort of English guys. And for some reason, these English fellows would stand out the front of the store, and they were a very, very persuasive sort of people who'd talk into microphones and say the word madness a lot, I noticed. Because I went out and researched how those spookers spoke by just listening to them for a few hours one day.
There's different catchphrases for each of them. That's right.
Yeah. Although in the end, the Crazy Warehouse guy and the Surprise Spruiker did share a few catchphrases. They both talked about madness and insanity and the boss going crazy. And they both had great concerns for their boss's mental health. And they also were very big on imposing midnight deadlines.
That's right.
on their sales. Everyone was always like, "You've got to be out there by midnight tonight." Or the Spruiker would say, "And they all have to be sold by midnight tonight." So they were pretty similar.
The Venn diagrams did intersect. But I remember Chaz and I were obsessed. Possibly Charles, we talked to you about this as well. But there was a guy outside Lowe's on Park Street in Sydney. Would actually do this. And I remember him always going, "A sale for the needy, not for the greedy." That was his every moment. He would just bring that one out.
Brilliant. Where did these guys go?
They've
gone.
Well, you know what did them in, though?
Tape
records. No, because somebody, at some point in the 1990s, somebody realised, we could just replace all of them with a recording.
Yeah, they had a recording for years.
You're right. You're absolutely right. In fact, I think
how
the
did they not realise that 30 years earlier?
Maybe because the tape was too expensive. Probably back then it was cheaper to just hire a British man.
But it was always British. And then when you watch Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, there's that amazing first scene where the guy's spruiking like stolen goods on the... And it's exactly the same patter. So somehow... We got them directly from Cockney Cockney London.
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah, no, they've got it down pat. You know, they've worked out a great sales spiel that Australians never really worked out. Yeah. Oh, except for when we shouted like this, when we kind of borrowed this, you know.
Did they ever meet? Was there a sketch
did,
where
yes.
they met? I thought they remember
yeah,
that.
There, yeah, there is a sketch. There's a climactic sketch where the crazy warehouse guy meets the surprise spruiker and and they have a confrontation.
And all the, yeah, the common words
in a,
get used.
In a rug warehouse. We shot it in an actual Persian rug warehouse.
At that point, you just can't really take the characters anywhere else, can you? That's just...
Well, that was it. I mean, we felt it had run its course, I think, by then. You know, so it needed an ending, didn't it?
It was you were never the bravest when it came to doing these sorts of stunts. It was always
you hated them, didn't you?
I hated them. I hated doing them. And so did Chris Taylor. No, it was sort of Craig and Julian loved doing them. Relished going out and upsetting people. Julian Morrow still does, as you can. if you've been keeping up with the news,
be careful, Andy. But
no one
in the chase has sued someone else in the chase yet.
No, he's having the time of his life to upsetting people out there, and I wasn't. I'm very non-confrontational, but I did like the joke. So I would do something for the gag, but I didn't have a good time. I used to drink. Because I was so nervous.
Did you?
And actually, yeah, yeah. You know, I also get very nervous.
Drink alcohol.
Yeah, but maybe I should tell you
about
that.
Is that because...
Let me tell you about that in the next instalment. That should be a cliffhanger.
Okay.
That should be a cliffhanger. Andrew Hansen's alcohol problem. Yeah, my booze problem on The Chaser's War and everything. Stay tuned.
And how would Surprise Spruiker plug that episode?
yeah, that's right. booze. Absolute madness. Something like that. I can't do him anymore. I'm rusty. Rusty. I've got, what is it? The voiceover artist has gone crazy and completely forgotten how to do it.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Andrew. We'll get into that next time. Our gears from Rode Microphones, and we're part of the Acast Creator Network. Another Summer Stunt Series episode with you tomorrow.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project... There's a spray paint pattern that's just right, because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1, only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.